Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello. Happy Thursday, everyone out there. Thank you for listening to the podcast all week. I know you have. It's okay if you haven't. This is a great show today. I'm in a mood, you know. Well, who's not in a mood? I mean, it could be a good one. You don't know. People don't normally say I'm in a mood when it's a good one. Things were running behind at Starbucks today and set my morning a little bit. Starbucks was backed up, and sometimes you go in there and they're all backed up. And I understand it. Working at Starbucks is not fun. I'm sure it can be. When you quit and you walk out. So I guess you're not really working there anymore, but it doesn't seem to be like a job that I think it used to be one of those jobs. Everyone was like, oh my God, all the benefits, and they give you health care and you're a partner and all this stuff. But now it just seems like they fucking hate what they're doing. And it has like a TSA vibe of like really resenting the job, knowing that it's just kind of a, that you're not, you know, the thing is, though, they are drug dealers more so than TSA. TSA are truly doing some kind of performative, like TSA have like never caught a terrorist since they've been implemented. I think that's true. They've literally never caught anyone. I think the shoe bomber guy was like on the flight trying to light up his shoe. So like he got passed. So TSA, which They're it's completely that must feel not good. They must convince those people they are really important, because I like that they take it so seriously, seemingly sometimes. That's the worst TSA agent, is someone who takes it too seriously or someone who doesn't take it seriously at all. You want something in the middle, but it's all bullshit. You might as well work at fucking Disneyland, and it's a small world. It's what's it called? They call it the theater of security. Like it's there's some the illusion of safety. It's like it's a magic trick that TSA has just put there to convince dumb Americans that we're doing the best we can to not have another September 11th. When really it's kind of, you know, they're probably not going to do it that way again. You know what I'm saying? You know how they did it the first time and we go, we could never have imagined. Well, they're probably going to come up with something we could have never imagined. I don't know. That's just my thought. But yeah, Starbucks today, you just go in there. Those people are delivering. They should take pride in their work if they were paid better for it, which they're not. I have no problem with anyone in retail. Anyone who is making under, you know, I don't know. I'm saying $25 an hour for what you do. That's what should be minimum wage at this point. And I know nothing about economics and how that would change the country. Probably everything would just get more expensive and then it would be $25 would be $7.50. Minimum wage, anyone who's working harder than the money you're getting, which is like almost everyone, take your time. Don't actually rush. I don't care, because that's the problem I have. When my food is late, or when Starbucks is running behind, or when, you know, the car wash is backed up and I'm seeing the workers and they're just kind of milling about and they don't seem to care about getting me through as quick as possible, or the gate attendant at the, you know, checking in my bags seems to be taking her time. You know what? Take your fucking time, because you're not being paid enough. And I allow you, our society is not, we should allow tipping more. There should be more tip jars out so these people feel compensated to work harder. And maybe something good could come of it. Because the thing is, if you're milling about all day at work at Starbucks, you might lose your job eventually because, you know, you're not getting the numbers that they want. But they need you so bad. I mean, every single business, I think right now people are dying to fill. Everything's understaffed. My sister told me the other day that she went to the Skyline Chili in Cincinnati with my dad and mom and a bunch of people. And they came in. The waitress had warned my dad's table, we are understaffed, we're slammed, it's gonna be longer today. And everyone was cool about it. Guess who was complaining as soon as his meal didn't arrive in the right way at the right time? It's just like, they can't even warn you and people still get disgruntled. And my dad's getting disgruntled. He's a nice person who didn't vote for Trump and doesn't feel, generally, I don't see him as someone who feels more entitled than the rest, and is not delusional. So if my dad is behaving that way with people who warn him that service is slow, can you imagine how people treat retail workers and food service workers? And any, it's just, be kind to all those people out there, especially if you're someone who works at a job where you're underpaid for what you do. Have compassion for other people and just let them be slow with your Starbucks. Today, I just sat back. There was a girl hanging on the counter waiting for her mobile order, because you can hang over the counter and kind of look where the mobile orders are. Sometimes I take a peek. I go over and I look and I go, is my drink there? Because I just want to help them out. And I always ask before I grab, because that's rude to like reach behind their bar. But this girl is like hanging on the bar. I see so many people come up and go, can I get a cup of ice? And it's like, they're slammed and you're asking them for more bullshit that you didn't pay for. It's just like, and I used to be one of those people. I used to bitch every single day on Sirius when I would get my Starbucks before I go. If it wasn't filled to the top, I'm like, I paid for a venti drink. I paid $6.70 for a fucking steamed almond milk latte. I want every inch of the cup covered. If I wanted a grande, I would have gotten a grande. You gave me a grande and a venti. I used to get so mad. It would like literally, like that was the mood that my day would be set into, is based on whether or not my Starbucks was filled to the top. And now I get what I get and I'm happy with it. And it's just like, I'm not a perfect person. Like, I still get frustrated by people who are rude or people who are really like, today at Starbucks, I was like, really? Like, you're slammed and you're still moving at like the pace that I would if I was doing a Marie Kondo like inventory, you know, like where you're supposed to touch everything and like gently go, do I want this in my life? Like, that's the way this girl was like looking at cups and just like picking up a cup, like so gentle that I'm like, You're more gentle with these cups when you have 14 drinks to make that are already overdue than I was with Marion this weekend, and she has an open wound. Like, it was the same kind of like gentle slowness. And you know what? I was watching it and I was kind of just like laughing about it. I was like, that is so cool that she can be that calm under this much pressure. I'd be like, ugh! And I'd be like knocking cups over. I mean, probably my speed would actually make things worse. So if I can ask anything of you besties, which is what I call my listeners, if you're a new listener being like, what the fuck are you saying? Just be nice to anyone who you want to complain about to the manager. Like, literally anyone. You don't know what's going on in their day. You don't know if they're struggling to get out of bed in the morning. You don't know if their husband just left them and they have to support two kids. You don't know if they live with their fucking parents who are abusive and sick. Like, you don't know. So, and they're working at Starbucks. No one, no offense. Actually, I do want to work at Starbucks. There is a secret part of me that does want to work at Starbucks to prove to myself that I could be good at this job that I've watched and judged so many times. There's a part of me, a little undercover boss part of me that wants to step in for a day, put on a fake mustache and trick everyone. And then at the end, I'm like, I'm Nikki Glaser. And they're like, who? They're like, oh, the girl that gets like the craziest drink order every single day. And we like know it's coming because the printer breaks on the mobile order. No, just know that no one wants to be working the job that you're about to complain about. Like, that really helps me sometimes as I go, you know, let me give you another example. You know, a FedEx, a delivery guy. And the box, he put the box in the, he threw the box and it's a little dented. No one wants to be delivering your goddamn thing that you could have gone to the store and bought yourself if you just wanted to drive. Like, no one wants to work at all, in fact. So just have compassion for the times where you didn't want to be at work. Put yourself in that exact mood that you remember where you hated every customer that walked in, and maybe have a little compassion for this person that's going through that. And still complain and ask for what you want as a customer, but let's just ease off the like hanging over the bar at Starbucks and being like, so is this like, can I get less ice? And then the woman has to throw out an entire venti drink because you wanted less ice. Take the ice out yourself and be on your way, ma'am. I don't know. I'm just tired of people expecting things from employees who were paying minimum wage too. Literally, minimum wage is such garbage and has not gone up with the fact that everything else has gone up. I don't really know anything about economics. Again, I'm speaking out of, outside my realm of knowledge. But anyone who is making, if I wouldn't do the job for that much money, I let them slide and I let them get away with literal murder because it sucks. Work sucks. In Iceland, I heard, just implemented a 4-day work week and it's killing. Like, everyone's so happy. Can we please get on board with that? How great would America be if we had a 4-day work week? Yes, your Starbucks might be closed on Friday or Monday, depending. Like, really let people off work. The thing is, I wouldn't be off work. That's another weekend for me to fucking go out and do shows. So it's not going to benefit me. I mean, financially it will, but I'm going to be exhausted. But, you know, I just think, I really hope that the headlines I'm reading about Iceland somehow seep into our collective consciousness as Americans, and we relax and we have more just like, working sucks. And I have empathy for everyone who's doing a job that they hate. People who are collecting, like, I have a trash room. Last example, there's a trash room in my building or on my floor. And it's very clearly states, you take the cardboard boxes and you flatten them as much as possible. You put them next to the recycling bin. It's a very clean room. Most trash rooms and apartment complexes, not that clean. Then with any cardboard that will not flatten, you put into a plastic, this says it's on a sign in the room. You put it in a plastic bag and you put those recyclables in any plastic bag and then you put it in the dumpster, right? The little dump thing. They only have one bin in there. Recycling, loose recycling, and then next to it, flattened cardboard. Then there's a trash chute. A hole you just stick your trash in and you throw it down. Nothing bothers me more. Andrew will do this, Noah. Andrew does this. People don't think about people collecting trash. It's my bathroom example again, where you like you go into a bathroom at a restaurant or a bar and there's paper towels all over the floor. Because girls, you know, the bin is overflowed and now people are just throwing them and then it's falling and tumbling off and now it's all over the floor. Someone has to pick that up. Someone has to remember that even when you wipe your cooch and a little bit of toilet paper falls off maybe and tumbles to the ground, someone is going to have to sweep or pick that up. Someone's muscles and cells in their body have to put in effort to clean up after you. Think about that. It's just not like, not Roombas aren't ubiquitous yet. They should be. I'm thinking of getting another Roomba just to keep my Roomba company because I'm so obsessed with Roomba. But what, sometimes I'll have a bunch of boxes and I'll go, Andrew, can you flatten these and put them in? Can you go take these to the trash room? I won't even say flatten them. Will you take them to the trash room? And I've told him so many times, I go, read the sign in the trash room because I want to respect the people that are cleaning up our trash and do it exactly how they want it so it's easy for them. And I go to the trash room so many times. And there's boxes that aren't flattened, just tossed next to the trash can. Or there's loose items from our house inside the trash recycling bin that haven't been put in a plastic bag. It is not that hard. And I used to be like that too, though, where it's like, oh, it's good enough. And especially when you're dealing with trash, like when you're taking something to the trash room, it's already trash in your hand. You're not thinking of it as this thing that someone has to deal with. Please, please get to a place where you are thinking about the people who have to pick up the trash. Trash just does not disintegrate when it enters a bin or is on the floor. Keep picking up your trash. Be nice to people who are working jobs that you wouldn't work or that no one would want to work. We all got to work. I have to do some jobs coming up that I don't want to fucking do either. But I'm getting paid really well for them. I have to say, I am very grateful that I am in a profession I'm just lucky. It's luck. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. And I'm grateful for it. But in doing so, in having that money, I tip generously to people who do not make as much. Always, 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 always. If you can, always, always tip. Like 100%. If you're someone who's rich and you're not spreading your wealth, stop listening to the podcast. I don't like you. All right, let's get Andrew in here.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to Quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's Quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey, Andrew.
Hello.
How'd you sleep?
Like candy.
Really?
Actually, I slept really well last night. Probably because I hit balls for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I'm obsessed.
I know. I get it. You know, we both have obsessions that we do for hours a day, and we feel guilty about it because it is not going towards anything else. Like, I played guitar yesterday for like 4 hours. Dude. It's like, it's just, yeah, we can't stop.
I took a lesson, and the guy gives you balls to hit, and then I took out a medium balls, and then, which is 75 balls, and then I took out a large balls, which is 110.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit, I don't know, 400 golf balls yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And I don't know if it's getting me better or making me worse. It's got to get me better, right?
Yeah, it's got to get you better. I mean, this is the kinds of things that you hear about, you know, great basketball players. They just, like, went home from school and just shot in their driveway for like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours until they were like finally like starving and had to like collapse from like heat, you know, like you just do it until...
Doesn't it suck? There's a window of like pushing as hard as you can, practicing as much as you can, and everyone's like, yes, they're a hustle hard person, maybe
you're
they'll
like
be pro
at 41. It's yeah, just 41. A ridiculous thing to yeah. pursue. No, I mean, as long as you like it, like, what's your goal? Do you have a goal?
My goal is I want to be a scratch golfer. I want to get down to at least single digits, maybe a 5.
So, I don't know what that means.
So yeah, I was going to tell you. So golf is judged by handicap, which your handicap is whatever you shoot over par. So let's say par 72.
Mm-hmm.
If you shoot a 75, you're a 3 handicap.
Got
or
it.
Whatever.
Okay.
So right now I'm probably around a 15.
Okay.
So I want to lose 10. Now the problem with golf is getting from 50 to 20 is easy. And 20 to 10 is whatever, but then 10 to like 5 or 10 to scratch, it's extremely difficult.
Yes. Do you feel that golf is, this obsession is taking you from things? What would you be doing with your time if it wasn't golf? Like, what did you do before golf?
Nothing.
I mean,
on
ask
TikTok.
Me. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good obsession, I think. And it makes me a better human after I'm done hitting. Like,
do you
it's
have any
meditative.
Guilt that you're not working on other things? Because that's
yeah.
my guilt is like I should be working on my stand up. I should be, you know, returning emails, recording ads that are due different. Like, I have so much stuff piled up. I don't feel like you have that many things piled up that you're neglecting, so there's less maybe guilt with it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I could obviously be writing more jokes. I have been working on material, but you know, I don't sit down. Sometimes I sit down and write, but yeah, I do feel a little bit like, oh shit, this tour's coming up. But then again, I do.
You're doing 10 minutes.
I know, but you say that. Which you a lot of times you say it like,
yeah,
in a
because
way,
it's 10 minutes. I would kill to just do 10 minutes.
No.
I'm probably gonna have you do 7, to be honest with you. It's like, it's a cakewalk. You're,
yeah, but why? But you say it though, like, so then why do you even practice if you're only doing 10 minutes?
Honestly, that's my question.
I know, but obviously, I want to be a good stand-up.
Well, you're not practicing. I mean, what are you're practicing?
You say it very, very rude. By the way,
okay, I
understand. You always do it. You always go, oh, you only are doing 10 minutes. Why the hell do you care? Because it's still a thing for me. Like,
yeah.
It's still like, whether you're doing a minute or 10 seconds, it's still a thing.
Yeah, it's not fair for me to compare to the time I have to do. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But yes, your time is definitely more. But like, okay, so I only have 10 minutes to prove to myself that I'm a good stand-up. And then, okay, if I only have 10 minutes, why even be motivated to do anything?
Right.
Okay, well, then that's a whole mind fuck in itself. Then I got to write new jokes, but I already have a 10 minutes that I know will do well. But
right.
It's like,
why do, yeah, I guess, because that's my, I'm just jealous because you don't have to have new material. You know that you have a 10 minute set that, like, you know, crushes. You don't, people aren't going to go, I heard that joke before.
Yeah,
That I'm just jealous is essentially where it's coming from.
And I think that in the past, I would be like, oh my God, we're going on tour. I don't know what I'd have this energy. And I get that. And you should be annoyed by that person. But I think, especially within the last year, like I don't bring that energy to you. And I try not to, just so... You know, not just for you, but just for me. Like, I don't have that energy anymore where it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I understand that I'm only doing 10.
Yeah, I've been a pill lately in general because of this tour and how I'm like, I literally don't know anything I'm going
to
say on stage.
I'd be... If you told me tomorrow, hey, Andrew, here, we're switching up. I'm going to do 10, you do an hour. I probably wouldn't hit golf balls today.
That wouldn't happen because I'm ready to do an hour. Like the thing is, this always happens to me. Whenever I have a tour pending and like something big is about to happen, I always get into a bad mood. I always procrastinate. I always don't work on the thing that I need to be working on. And it always turns out fine. Always. It hasn't ever not. So I have to trust that it's going to be fine, that me playing guitar is not taking from me being like, I've been having nightmares every single night that I have to perform stand up and I don't know what I'm going to say. And I keep trying to sing songs instead. And last night I opened for Ariana Grande at an arena, like an ice skating arena. And it didn't go well. I was bringing Gary Goldman. It was Ariana Grande, then me, then
this
Gary
was a
Goldman.
Dream? This
yeah.
A dream? Okay.
And I just like,
I
had
like
no idea what I was going to say. And I begged them to get me a guitar. And my dad was like, we can't get your guitar here in time. For some reason, my dad was there. And so I just, it's weird to enjoy something more than the thing you do for a living. And that's what you really want to do for a living, but you're not good enough at it.
Yes.
Like, I really want to be a singer-songwriter, and that I'm not good enough at it yet. The thing is, as soon as I get on stage and I start doing stand-up, it's like, oh, this is fucking awesome. I don't have to talk in metaphors. I don't need to worry about the chord changes and things sounding buzzy. Like, that's the thing is, like, when I'm playing songs now and I'm trying to get a repertoire together and trying to, like, perfect songs, there are times where it's like, oh, fuck, that F was really buzzy and that thing was off-key or whatever. And I think about my stand-up and I'm like, I was thinking about making a studio album and how literally they don't do the song in one take. You know, it's like you'll do the chorus. It's like layered 10 times. Someone's voice is layered 10 times and not like harmonizing. My mom didn't even know this because we were singing Taylor Swift in the car. And I go, Mom, do you know like every song you hear on the radio, like if it's someone's voice, it's like their voice like 10 times on top of itself? She was like, no. And I'm like, yeah, that's why like a cappella sounds different than anything else. And because they have effects on the voices and stuff. But when you're making, I could make a studio album that sounds great, because you take each thing. Like if I was doing like blank space, it'd be like, nice to meet you. Where you been? And I would just go, nice to, I would do it until it's like perfect. Then we'll move on to the next part. I can show you incredible thing. Oh, I didn't like that. I can show. So live performances of artists with it's just guitar and their voice is like incredible when they can do that perfectly. It's really rare that you get it like perfectly. And with stand up, when you do, I was thinking, oh, with a special, the special is kind of like a studio album version of, you know, like they're the equivalents. Like, this is the thing you put out that everyone judges. Even in a special, I have extra words and buzzy things. Like, it's specials can't be that perfect either. I've never done a joke perfectly. It's always going to sound different than.
Unless you did like a studio recording of it, but then it would lose all its
then
like.
Then there's no
luster.
Live audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you only have two chances to make it right. Like, but it's perfectly imperfect, I guess you could say. Like, the idea that there's all this pressure, the idea that you only have two times, you know, all these things probably make you sharper in a way. Like, there's positives in it.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling of the crowd will make you probably perform the joke better. Or at least think it's funnier than if you were just in alone in a dark studio. Imagine saying your joke 100, 300 times.
I mean, I'd have.
But I'm saying like in that
in
same
one, yeah.
sitting. Like,
no, it would be, that would be hard to do. But I just like, I don't know. I'm just nervous about, I get, but the thing is everyone feels this way. Every artist has self-doubts and like, I'm not going to be good enough and all this stuff. It feels weird to say because people are like, I have tickets to your show and you think you're going to suck. It's like, no, I'm not going to suck. You know, I'm going to be good. Like, this is what makes me the artist that you enjoy is that I think I suck and think I'm tricking everyone into liking me.
But you said something yesterday I was thinking about after the podcast where you go, I hate silence because I'm afraid if I'm silent too long, someone's going to yell, you suck. And from everything you say, like that negative, like you're just so negative to yourself in that instance where like, what if it was quiet and someone goes, I love you, even though that would be kind of annoying too during stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying like changing that thought process of like, if it is quiet, oh no, someone's going to yell something positive because 98% of people there want to be there
for
you.
Can I tell you what I'd do with that?
Yeah.
I would think that everyone who hated me would go, God, why is that person saying I love you and encouraging this woman?
Who like, the fuck hates like you coming to your show? Like how many people do you think hate you? That
I don't know. Women who are dragged by their husband who like saw my roast compilation are like, she's going to roast us. And she's like, I don't even want to do this, Jim. Well, I just, she's hot. And oh, I resent that you probably just want to fuck her. I hate this girl. She's raunchy. My kids, she's not Christian. Like there's certain people that get drug along to things that their spouse enjoys. And I'm thinking about that woman and I'm thinking about people that have.
Why are you thinking about that person?
Well, I'm also thinking about everyone who might have expectations of like, this is going to be the best night of my life, and like, you know, or like, this is going to be I spent all this money and it should be this. I've been disappointed by movies before. Yeah. Walked out. Like, I'm always nervous about that. Like, well, it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but it was fine. Like that kind of response. And you know, the person yelling, I love you. I hate when people do that, even though it's so nice. And I do like that person loves me. It always feels like the student who's like, you forgot to give us homework. And everyone hates that student.
Yes,
I'm like, don't encourage this woman or the teacher. Don't tell them. Like,
yeah, I get that
you're not
too.
Speaking for us, drunk lady. We actually hate her and we don't like where she's going with this. And also, I love you sounds like patronizing a little bit, like keep going, you've got this.
You go, girl.
So I mean, that's the fear, is like the silence of, I just don't want the audience to ever feel like I don't want them to ever feel awkward for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the worst. As an audience member myself, I hate when I don't trust that this person knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Well,
and the truth, I'm telling you right now, I don't know what I'm going to be doing on stage. Like, I will have a set list picked out by then and like have know where I'm going with certain things. But
well, so many comics,
an
they
hour
go
is so long.
So many comics nowadays, especially post COVID, are writing like, come to, you know, Jeff Smith's show, working out new material. And they lean into the fact that it's all new. And
yeah, that's
we don't know what's
going to
happen.
Well, that's actually a great device. And I wish I would have done that, because that is the truth. Like, I will be working on new material. And when you say that, no one can get mad if it's shitty.
Yes.
Because you're bringing them in the process.
That's a scapegoat, though.
Yeah, but it's also honest.
And for some reason, people want to maybe come see it more.
People like that. People like the grittiness of it. Oh, I'm seeing the process. I'll tell you, I'm always in process. I'm in process even when I'm on the Tonight Show or Conan. Sometimes I'll work out a bit that I'm like, I thought of this in the shower once, but I've never said it. Okay, I'll say it now. So that's always going on with me. I'm just having a day of self-doubt, and I'm a little depressed today. I don't know why. And it's manifesting in thinking that I'm a fraud. And as I have to perform, what is it, Thursday? Saturday night's our show at Waterloo. Mm-hmm. I'll be fine. As soon as I grab the mic, I'll be fine. I will be fine. There's never been a time I'm not fine when I grab the mic. Never. But leading up to it, I've never had a job I don't dread until this podcast, by the way. And that includes stand-up. I just want to say, if you're listening to this podcast, I look forward to this show every single day. I get a little nervous when we have guests because I want to be good for them. But other than that, I have no nerves. I love every... And I've literally never had a job like that. Never in my life have I had a job. And I'm just saying this about... Like, and you know what? And F-Boy Island as well. Never dreaded that either because it was just... I got to be myself, much like this. It was in Paradise. It was with a bunch of friends. But stand-up, I remember my ex-boyfriend saying, why do you do this thing that you seem to hate the whole way up to it? And I really did. I'd be like, I don't want to go do a set. I'd be driving over being like, oh, this set. And then I grab the mic and I'm like, so happy. So I don't know what it is.
I'm just trying to think like... Well, you did a lot of... you've been doing this for 16, 17, whatever.
I've never been excited about going on stage unless I know unless I really know what I'm about to do. Mm-hmm. And there's someone in the audience that I like want to impress. That's the only time I'm like, I can't wait to get up there.
Look, I mean, I'm in the same boat.
But as soon as I get up there, I want audiences to know. Yes. Because this would really bum me out if I was someone who was buying a ticket to my show. I want you to know as soon as I grab the mic, I have the most fun. I'm so present in that moment and I truly have a great time. And I'm actually organizing this stand-up set for this one that I'm taking out to be that. To be really fun and like... different, and we're gonna try a bunch of different stuff, and I have to work music into it somehow, and I know that might make people like, oh god, she's getting a guitar out. It will be funny. I promise to not disappoint you and make you bored.
Yeah, I mean, do you try to?
And Andrew will get his
3 minutes.
He's gonna do
a 35 seconds. It's gonna be
demonstration.
Great. I'm gonna go out there. I'm gonna smile. I'm gonna show you guys my muscles, and then I'm gonna go backstage. But you know what? I'm gonna be scared.
It'd be
the
hilarious
whole time.
If you brought out your driver. And just held it the whole time.
I should wear golf clothes on stage.
It would be a look. Wait, what were you just about to say? I'm
no, sorry. No. I don't want you to feel alone. Like, I feel that, like, I don't hate it, but, like, I'm very afraid the whole time leading up to that I'm not going to do well. So it's obviously, like, horrible for I'm an anxious person anyways. So it's like... This is like just leading into like, yeah, I don't feel that going into this or going to hit golf balls. But after you get it and you fucking nail it, that's the beauty of it. Like, mm-hmm. If you didn't have that feeling, you wouldn't care.
Honestly, I don't even celebrate the nailing it. Ever.
Well, yeah, you don't even do that.
But I have fun in the moment on stage. And yes. Then afterwards, I'm like, that was fun. But I don't go, yeah, did it. Yes. Well, I never do that.
I do think, though, like you haven't. You've done stand-up a lot in L.A., but you haven't done an hour in a while, and this is the first hour. There's a lot of lead-up, and I think by, like, fucking week 7, it's like you're not even going to have these.
I think it's going to be worse. Night one, it's going to fly by. Like, an hour, it seems like a lot, but it does fly by. We got to get to the news. Yeah. Talking about flying by.
The news. Apparently. Thursday, baby.
Thursday, baby.
Baby.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Oh my god, I'm looking at that Celsius.
What are you feeling about it?
Honestly, I think that's what made me sick yesterday. I think Celsius's truly caused me to have a flu-like reaction. I'm not joking you.
But that's not the first time you drank it.
I know. The other time I drank it too, I felt the same symptoms, and I thought it was because I had...
cells in your ass.
Yeah, I thought it was cells. Because I had sex and it had like foreign matter in my body, but it wasn't that. It's Celsius. It is for.
Have you been pouring it in your asshole?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm saving my mouth for marriage.
I just see a Celsius can waiting for you at the end of the aisle.
Oh my God. But no, I think Celsius fucked me up yesterday.
Well, Celsius is still going strong for me. So
yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Dustin Poirier, don't get mad at me.
Yeah. Oh, my stomach is turning just thinking about it. That's interesting. I think it's the Celsius. I'll try it again another time. We'll test it. What's the news?
Hope you're having a great time out there. You're going to have an amazing weekend and all the swells because you're going to see us in Waterloo, boy.
Yeah, no wives are going to die.
I bet you three wives die. Maybe not our listeners.
Nationwide?
Do you think one of our listeners has died since starting? Probably.
No. Oh, okay. Boy. I mean, someone just wrote in and said Noah goes, no, let's skip that. I mean, even I think about that all the
Noah
time.
Over here.
Well, sometimes that's, when I'm at a dark. Baseball game, yeah, I'm at a base, Pantera. Queen of darkness over here.
Can't handle it.
No, whenever I'm at a baseball game and I see like a crowd of people, I go, someone here is going to die like in the next month.
Oh, wow.
Odds are someone here will not be here in a month.
Did you ever see the documentary of the guy at the, you showed me the Larry David game.
Oh my God. It's amazing. It's called The Long Shot.
Yeah, you just got to see it.
On Netflix. Please watch The Long Shot on Netflix. It's a very short documentary, and it'll blow your mind. And then write to us and tell us how happy you are that we told you to watch it.
All right, so teachers from around the world confess on the secret sharing app Whisper how they spend their summer.
This is the one where
their
you
revelations
can, like,
range from shocking to depressing. So one is like, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm a dumb.
So Whisper's this app where you can, like, it's pretty much like Post Secret, where people used to write on postcards and say secrets that they didn't tell anyone. So this one says, I'm a teacher during the school year. My secret, I work as a pro dom. Dom, D-O-M-M-E, that's a female dom. During the summer, I make way more money with my second job. Hell yeah. I mean, like, if you are able to crack into the sex industry and do it safely, and that is a great way to make some side cash. I'm not advocating it, but this is what people have to do now. I was just talking about this at the top of the show.
Yeah.
People with fucking shitty jobs, because no one gets paid enough to do fucking anything. You gotta, you know, whip some guy that wants to be cuckold. You know, like you tie up a businessman and spit in his face, and then you make more than you did all day at Starbucks. It's like wild. Oh my God. On Demois.
Yeah, three spits. You're good.
On Demois, the celebrity gossip thing. Apparently, there's a comedian who gets visited many, many times by doms, like gets prostitutes constantly to tie him up and call him little pussy boy and stuff like that.
No name?
I mean, I think it's all of them. I'm like, that could be any of them. They all hate themselves. You know, like, I like it too, to be tied up and said and made to do things, you know, and I don't like to be degraded, but most comedians don't like themselves. It kind of takes low self-esteem. And so that's probably something that a lot of comedians would be into.
I love this teacher thing because it's like, during the summer, I'm a dom. Like, they have like this like alter ego. And it's like, you could dom on the weekends. Like, you don't have to wait till the summertime.
That's true. But but also on the weekends, you're working all week. And so you want to have your weekends free.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, how long does it take to dom? But yes, I get it.
It's still a job. I mean,
like, but
how long does it take to do stand up?
I do like this app too, because it's like, it's anonymous. So they could just write their own and be like, wow, we're getting so many writers in. And it's like, you can make your own all day long with this app.
What do you mean?
Like it's called.
You could just lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's kind of like anything.
Yeah, but especially this, because it's anonymous.
As a teacher, I have the summer off and have gotten into the habit of daily drinking, and it's fantastic. Okay, well, that is not gonna. I'm glad you're having fun with it now. Have your fun, because that is a one-way ticket to hell. I'm a teacher, and my summer consists of smoking weed, playing video games, and eating junk food. I mean, that's like kind of like my life too. The summer holidays are the only time I feel like my old self. I've been miserable since I became a teacher. Yeah, teachers, shout out to teachers. Talk about people who are underpaid for what they do. You know how I feel about teachers. I love all of you so much, and I'm so sorry you have to deal with all the parents who feel so entitled now to that their kid's the best and it's just teachers, I don't know how you do it. I'm a teacher and I can't wait to go back to school. My students teach me more about life than anything else. Summer is lonely. Oh, well, that's a nice little, the other side of things. I mean, some teachers, I'm not saying they don't take pride in what they do, and I don't need to thank them in terms of like, thank you for doing this miserable thing. Some of you really enjoy it, but You should be paid more.
I would feel like teacher parent conferences is like us going on stage. Like I would be, I would dread.
Like oh, I would love that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like okay,
I mean, I know it's a task that teachers have to do. That they're like, oh god, I'm not even getting paid for these hours, and it sucks. But I don't mind it.
So if my student, if my son was a C student, and I came in, I go, look, I don't think you're teaching well. What are you gonna? I think my son actually has a lot of potential. Yes, he's a C student. I just don't think you're doing your job correctly.
Well, here I have it shown that he didn't turn in homework this day, this day, this day, this day, and he got this on a test. I gave him extra time. He came. I offered to tutor him during his off hours. I have all the evidence to show that I'm doing all I can. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess you're putting in all this effort, but obviously your effort is not...
Listen, I'm a public school teacher, and I'm not paid enough, and you're probably a rich dad who's trying to get out of his taxes, which actually contribute to me getting paid, so I don't really feel like I need to hear any gruff from you.
Gruff? You're going to say I have gruff.
And, sir, you know I'll see you this summer when you hire me to tie you to your bed and piss in your mouth.
Look, that has nothing to do with this.
I think that it has everything to do with it, summer's you different. Little fucking pussy bitch.
Oh, my God.
And scene.
You're right. My son is stupid.
Next.
All right. A 47-year-old woman died, not a listener to the show, on the Voyager roller
you
coaster in Indiana after tearing an artery.
Oh,
so this was amazing. So the
I mean, amazing's. Maybe it is amazing. Keep going.
This is exhilarating.
It's a woman's death. It's exhilarating. Was there a picture of it? Just a, like a one moment where she just has X's for
her
eyes.
Her hands are up. They got a photo of the.
Oh
yeah.
Dear. I'm sorry to this woman and her family. Keep going.
There were three things that caused the death, which I thought was pretty impressive: severe internal blood loss, the tearing of an artery, and the force from the roller coaster. Which the last one doesn't really go with. The other two are like in your body, and the other one's like, and the roller coaster was rough.
Yeah.
You know? But. And then it says the last quote, which I thought the coroner goes, it was a reaction her body had from riding the ride. It had nothing to do with a malfunction or anything as far as safety and that type of thing.
I mean, anything can cause you to, you know, it's this is unfortunate, but it sounds like at least she went out doing something. I don't
she
know.
She might have
like,
liked. Yeah.
It's I wonder what. I mean, should people avoid these rides if they have what internal bleeding?
It's like COVID. It's like don't go out if you're out of shape. Don't go on a roller. Should a roller coaster be more like be like you look a little unhealthy?
I came from a roller coaster. My friend had a stroke when she had an orgasm because it was such a rush of blood, and she had an underlying illness that. Underlying, I think is the word, illness that caused her to have, she had Lyme disease, in which she had an orgasm, all of her blood like shot around, and she had a stroke because of an orgasm.
On a roller coaster?
No, from an orgasm. Oh. So like, if you have something else going on, things that cause your body to have chemical responses that are abnormal to like the day-to-day life are going to set these things off.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, how many times should you go to the doctor and check to see if you have underlying, like it could drive you insane because you could have an underlying thing any day.
I was
thinking
about getting a brain scan because it's expensive. It's probably out of pocket, but you can see like the blood flow to your brain. And I follow this doctor that's like Justin Bieber's doctor on Instagram. He's always talking about blood flow to the brain is the biggest indicator.
Is he a cool doctor? Does he wear cool glasses?
No, he's like, he looks like,
no, like Bieber's pastor is like this cool.
Oh yeah. Guy. Yeah. Yeah. No, this guy is Dr. Amen or something.
Sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah. He says that, you know, he can tell on a brain scan, like if, what's going on, like a lot of what's going on, it's all about blood flow to your brain to predict dementia and all these things. And he says that smoking pot is like definitely bad for your brain health. Like there's just no evidence to say that it's good for you, that it's making you smarter, that it's doing it. And I, you know, obviously as someone who smokes pot a lot, I just like don't I hate, I'm trying to smoke enough pot so I forget that I read those things, but like the blood flow, I would like to maybe see the imaging on a thing that shows me that the blood flow of my brain is not ideal, and then it might make me take drastic measures to like improve it.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Do I want to keep living in denial? I don't know.
And would that really, if you saw the blood thing?
A lot of listeners send me stuff to help, because I made like an outreach
to help you
plea.
Stop?
No, just said like I have a lot of guilt associated with smoking pot all the time, even though it makes me not want to kill myself or not have like depression and anxiety. There's something about smoking weed that makes me feel instantly better and calm, and everything's okay and everything will get done, and you are a sweet person and everything's okay and you're just like trying to get by. Like, it really calms me, which is not the normal reaction for most people when you look at weed addiction. Like, I've talked about being in the Reddit forum Leaves, which is about quitting pot, and everyone in there is like, my anxiety went away when I stopped, all this, like, weed caused my anxiety, weed caused me to like isolate and stay in my room all day and not get things done. And weed doesn't do that for me. And so I'm really just like struggling with what to do next. I mean, I have to figure out something to do next because I can't smoke weed the rest of my life. I just can't. I don't want to be an ant who smokes.
Could you limit it?
I mean, some part of me is like, you know what?
Fuck it.
I'll just be an ant who smokes joints here and there.
Yeah.
And like, who cares?
That's fine.
Who I am. The problem is I have to accept it about myself and not feel shame. And that's where I still feel shame because I want to be a singer. It's impacting my singing because it's inhaling smoke.
Yeah. Where does it negatively impact you is what you got to say.
My short term memory.
Okay.
When I'm high, my lungs, although I can still run like the fucking wind, my lung capacity, I don't feel has changed at all in terms of like that. But, you know, it makes my voice, you can definitely hear when I'm smoking weed and when I'm not in my voice. Like, there's like a thing. So that's where I'm mostly insecure about it. Because anything that affects my career, I start going, you have to quit this. It can affect every other thing in my life.
Yeah, you're not a weed smoker where I see you smoke and you're like, yeah. Like, you're more, if anything, I don't know. I mean,
you see me before and after. Like, yeah. What are your observations? Do you even notice?
Yeah, I notice. Well, I notice a happier mood. I notice you being more easygoing. More cheerful.
Yeah. So why wouldn't I smoke weed all the time?
Well,
you know, like, if those are the side effects.
Maybe you could get there without it, I guess, would be the idea.
I know, but how? And then someone else wrote to me about just maybe just CBD. So I'm going to try some other things and see what happens. But thank you so much to the listener, the bestie who sent in all that little care package. That was so freaking nice. And I'll keep talking about it and figuring it out. I don't know.
Look, I mean, as long as you're aware of it, right? Like, I mean, you could just be like, either A, fuck it, I'm a fucking weed head. Or you could be like, I don't have a problem. I don't have an addiction. You have an addiction. Like,
I find the biggest problem with it is because acceptance is one thing, and admitting like, yeah, I smoke a lot of weed and I'm not proud of it. But not being proud of something that you do, it's like I just, that causes me a lot of like, shame. Even if I'm being honest about it, admitting something that is bad that I'm doing, I just want to just be okay with it, mm-hmm. or I want to stop it. But you know, it's a process. I'll get there.
A TikToker responds to a plane passenger's foot on the armrest by pouring water on her bare feet. So I don't know if it's a woman though, because the toes look hairy.
Okay, so it's a guy sitting there and he's doing like a selfie kind of. Shot, and there's someone
sitting behind him has her foot on the rest.
That is so funny. That is so gross.
Ugh, gross.
That someone would put that.
We're gonna be flying barefoot a lot lately.
I put my foot up on the rest. That is my classic move, but I never put it that much into someone. Like, the person would never see it. It never enters into like past their.
Yeah, you can't go into their zone.
And I always wear a sock, or I put a blanket over my foot. I don't do a bare sock either. Even that's gross. I'll put a blanket over my foot or a shoe.
I mean, you crawl up in ways on an airplane that
I compact myself like the guy sneaking into Ocean's 11. Like,
yes. I was thinking of the same guy before you even said it. That's so weird.
I contort myself into a tiny, tiny.
You probably could do that as like on stage, like get inside a little suitcase.
I can get really, really tiny. I'm so little.
We should just pay one ticket. I'll put you in a little Samsonite.
I really probably could get into one of those. There's this hilarious rumor that Taylor Swift, when she was living at Cornelia Street, this famous apartment she lived in, where people would just line up outside all hours of the day, that for after a while she was just like, fuck it. And they have all this footage of like these guys hauling these suitcases out, and they're like, she's in the suitcase, and it's like, Taylor definitely went out in a suitcase. And I love that. I would definitely do that.
I mean, what do you do if that's an unruly guy? Would you pour water on someone's foot? Like, do you tell them? I mean, was this...
No, I'd do the same thing because I wouldn't put so much water.
That would escalate. Like, that guy definitely didn't handle that well, you think?
Really? I think they just were like, oh, shoot. And if it escalated, good.
I know. Good, I'm so afraid. It. You love an escalation. I'm so afraid of an escalation, especially in public. Like, because I don't know where it's going to go. I'm nervous that it's going to go into.
You get so embarrassed for me so often.
Well, it could end in a fist
so
fight.
So embarrassed. I know, but I, like, there are things that I do sometimes in public, and Andrew will like talk about curling into a ball trying to escape. Like, Andrew cannot take any kind of like confrontation.
Oh, I hate confrontation.
And you know me, you just listen to me talk about how much I respect waiters and people that are working, you know, these jobs where maybe I have some confrontation. I'm never rude.
Yeah. Yeah. What? No, I don't like if you see something that's not going well from like across the way, I'm trying to think of an example, but you'll go, excuse me. Okay, the perfect example. We were at lunch, me, you, and your mom. The guy was listening to something on his phone too loud.
Oh, my God. And oh, my God. Me, you were so embarrassed.
Because of the guy's presence, like, I was like, I'm going to have to fight the guy.
No, you wouldn't.
But you're not going to fight him.
Well, I would not allow a fight to happen. I'd be like, let's go. Like, it wouldn't have gotten to that.
But the guy's energy was
what
was
happened?
Okay, so.
You can go into it.
Oh, so Nikki was like, excuse me, sir.
No. We're sitting at this table. It's me, my mom, and Andrew. Next to us, there's a guy listening to his phone, and it's loud. It's like he's watching TikTok or some video, and it's like loud, and it's right next to our table. And I just go, excuse me. Like, very, excuse me. He obviously can hear me because I'm louder than the sound he's listening to on his phone without headphones. And he's just ignoring me, completely ignoring me. And I go, excuse me, can you turn that down, please? Totally ignore, like, honestly, like, just acting like I don't exist. And it's so awkward. And I go, oh, okay, you can't hear me. Okay, thanks so much. Yeah, it's not rude at all what you're doing. Thank you, sir. Like, I just, like, kept it going. And, well, not, like, I just go, oh, I didn't know you were an ass. I go, oh, my mom goes, Nick, he didn't hear you. And I go, yes, he can hear me, mom. He's just choosing to be an asshole. I just said it, like, loud enough. Because the guy was. I mean, it was, to be someone in public who listens to their phone, if you were someone in public that listens to your phone without headphones
unless
on,
it's Taylor
stop
Swift.
Listening to this podcast. Yeah. No. Stop listening to this podcast. I don't want anything to do with you. I think you are scum. You don't care about anyone else but yourself. It is the mark of a true sociopathic narcissist. I think that is one. I'm serious. If we could just put in prison every single person who does this, the world would be cleaned up of murderers, of rapists. I'm not kidding you. Abusive parents. That is a tacit and a harmless indicator of sociopathic tendencies.
If they're a certain age, because there'll be like a
teenager.
I would say 21 and above, 18 and above. If you 16 and above, I'm not even going to give a 16-year-old.
25 is when your brain like really stops developing.
Okay,
25 and above, and if you're not drunk, I'm taking intoxication out of this. This guy was sober as shit too. He was like very steady.
But can I say for this guy's argument?
Put him in prison.
Can I argue for this guy? We had Marion and Luigi there, and every time the waiter would come. They would try to bark and bite the waiter. So that guy is like, fuck you, because I could see him being like, fuck you, you brought your dogs.
Yes.
So the same thing. I think that guy was thinking the same thing about us.
I will say two things.
Okay.
The first time the dogs barked, I said, I'm going to run them upstairs. I told the both waitresses that they were barking at. I go, I'm going to run these dogs upstairs because my apartment was a block away. And they go, no, 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 it's fine. And I go, I want to run them up. No, 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 it's fine. So they let us sit. Every time the dogs barked, I apologized profusely.
Yes.
I did something to try to change the situation and calm them. I you have a point because I do hate people that think their dogs are just allowed anywhere. I can sometimes resemble one of those people by my actions of bringing my dogs in places, and sometimes they do misbehave and I'm mortified and I hate that I'm one of those people, but I take care of it right away. I don't. And sometimes my phone starts playing loudly in public and I don't even realize it until a second later. And then when I do, I am fucking mortified and I apologize and I like cower and I get into a little Ocean's 11 box because I'm so embarrassed. That's the difference. Let's get to our sports moment
and
of the week.
You can control your phone. You can't control your, you can control your phone easier than you can control a dog.
Yeah. That's a good point. I wish Marion had a volume on her. Or dogs had little volumes where you could just put silent and then they vibrate.
And you put little headphones in so you could only hear them whimper.
Oh my God, that's cute.
Or when they attack someone, you could hear it.
Okay, sports moment. Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Oh, someone re-recorded. Sounds happy this week. Okay, a diamond. I showed you this. A Diamondback's dad, which... Diamondback's dad is able to catch a foul ball with the same hand he's holding his baby, and he manages to save
his
drink, too.
This guy is not a Diamondback's dad. A Diamondback fan. Is that a fan of the Diamondbacks?
Yes.
Okay, so a Diamondback's
Arizona Diamondbacks
fan,
yes,
who's a dad, is carrying a baby in one hand, and he catches a foul ball? What is this kind of ball?
A foul ball.
Foul ball with the same hand he is holding the baby. Holding a beer with the other hand. If you haven't seen this, it's incredible. He like,
I feel like every player should have a baby in their hands. Put it in the shortstop. I mean, this is
it's so fun.
How does gravity work here though? Because he throws his he must have thrown his baby up a little bit.
The baby's dropping and he scoops it lower. So the baby, he sees the ball coming. He reaches for, he drops the baby just in time. The baby has no support for about 0.08 seconds. And then he grabs the ball.
Oh my God.
Boom, scoops up the baby. It is barely spills the drink. I mean, this, has he been interviewed? Has he been found, and have we done a deep dive?
We should do a deep dive into this guy.
Podcast series on
this
man.
The Last Dance for this guy. Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of people were upset. A lot of people were going, drop your beer, catch it with your right hand. Obviously, the guy is probably a righty, so he catches with his left hand, which his baby is in. Do you let the foul ball go? Did he save the person
maybe
behind him?
The baby would have been fine. The beer, it would have been ruined. The baby would have been fine if the baby was not scooped up. It was a small fall. The baby would have landed on one of the... it would have been fine.
Wait, you're saying the baby would be fine?
Yeah,
and you're worried about the beer?
I'm not worried about the beer, but if you had to make a choice, he knew he could do it, and sometimes you take a risk. The risk is the baby falls 3 feet to the ground, and it'll be fine.
If that baby fell and he caught that ball, that guy would be treated like the devil. He wouldn't be able to go out at night. He would get what's it called, doxed.
Right.
I'm serious. If that baby fell and had a little blood on her forehead.
Oh my God, you're so right. Well, I mean, that's the risk he took and it paid off. It's crazy, but I think that guy's a hero, and I love that clip.
Yeah, if you read the comments, people are like, how could you do that to your baby?
Those people and all beat their children, and they honestly, anyone who is mad about that, you've hurt your child before, you've done something similar, and you hate yourself for it, and you're projecting.
And you couldn't catch that ball, you loser. You know?
Anyone who comments on these things and then goes, I would never, how could she hold her? There's a picture of Emily Ratajkowski holding her baby that everyone's attacking because her baby's neck isn't supported. It's kind of and it's so stupid because she posted this picture. She's not a bad mom because the baby's head was a little bit tilted to the side and wasn't supported for 1 second for a picture. Go fuck yourself. The people that are mad about that, I bet you anything, they are the worst parents and they hate themselves for it and they'll never admit it.
Yeah, it's when Michael Jackson held that baby off the off the railing. I was like, oh, big deal. So the baby drops 10 stories.
I mean, that was wild. That was so weird. That was so that we wild. Let that was Blanket, right? Blanket's walking around right now.
Yeah.
Like a person. Great. There's someone that goes to Starbucks and goes, what's your name? Blanket. And do you think people go, oh my God, are you the Blanket? Like,
yes. Are you the only Blanket?
Blanket is such a weird name. I think that's the worst baby name I've ever
heard. Emily pick for her baby's name?
Emily Radzowski.
Yeah, do we know?
I don't remember.
Something cool.
Yeah, like it's definitely
Jagger
something.
Or something.
Yeah, it's something like, yeah, it's something like that.
Jagger Radzowski.
All right, let's get to Fanthrax. This is where we read through your fan mail. Well, or like just, you know, listener mail. This could be just voice memos, things you write into the show. Let's see what we got today, Noah. Okay, this is from a bestie.
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah. I didn't know if we were going to do anonymous, but that's a later one. She says, vulnerable DM, but I feel we're besties. Love it. Okay. You've talked about on previous pod episodes about anal sex in an honest and realistic way that is so on point. What it's really like versus how it's depicted in porn. It would be awesome if you could take a segment to go into detail about your advice on how to make it work in the reality of the situation. My boyfriend mentioned wanting to try anal, and I'm down to do it, but I would love first to hear what's really going down. I'm the real bestie, but he's basically a bestie too with how much he listens with me. And I know he loves it because if it's too quiet, he asked me to turn it up. That's so sweet. Okay. What do you want to know? Let's talk about it. I don't know that I can tell you much more than like a good Google search will do, but here's what I'm going to tell to your boyfriend. There's no way to be sure that something weird isn't going to happen. Something unsavory will happen. It can't always happen. It doesn't a lot of times. There are ways to prep for that. Make sure that the person is relaxed and you use way more lube than you think you need. And go very slow, be very encouraging, be very, use a vibrator on the other parts to like make everything as relaxed as possible. I would say don't try anal like right away. I would say after you've like, maybe after, she's already about to like, you know, she's already loosened, like really horned up, you know, like this isn't something that you just like stick it in right away. And yeah. And also just like be totally on board with shit being everywhere. Because that could happen. So just be on board that you're going to make it if that happens. It's most likely not going to happen, but it
do you
could.
Put plastic down like a woman on a nice couch?
Get a towel that has a dark color to it and do it in the dark. And oh, you know what I used? I made a hole like so like when I do it, there's a towel down that's like a darker colored towel.
You're like Dexter before you kill someone.
I know. I have a whole mood set. I have my lava lamp on that just gives us just enough light. And I put one of those tushy wipes that we got, the disposable tushy wipes. What are they called? Fair weather?
Yeah, something. Tail weather?
Tail feathers. Shit.
We got tail feather.
They sent us a bunch of free ones. We got it. There's a disposable tushy wipe that they send us. And I grabbed one of those and I pre-opened it so that it's like was right next to the bed in the little it's like sticking out of the top. Like
Oh, ready to go.
Yeah. So you,
like
didn't
you already
have
a cigarette
it.
Lit. Yeah.
Yes. So I said this. I go, after we were done, I go, there's a wipe there for you. And for any, like, I just want everything to be clean, like, everything to be
taken
care of.
There's a certificate on the wall? It sounds like you made this really professional.
And, so you put down a towel that isn't going to have, like, stuff on it where you're not going to see it as much. If there is something there, you get a wipe so that when you're done, there can be, like, just a quick cursory wipe of the toy or his penis.
And can I ask a question? When you wipe your butt, do you go deeper with the wipe beforehand? Can you try to go as deep as possible with your own finger?
Well, let's say the other night I was like,
hypothetically.
No, let's not. Let's say, I mean, the other night I knew that I was going to have a partner over to do some stuff with.
Partner?
And I thought maybe that kind of thing would happen, even though we didn't discuss it, even though it's like literally all we do. And I was like, okay, I had a really good BM before where it was like cleaned out. You know, like one where you're like, okay, that.
Oh, got, bowel movement. Yeah. Okay.
I had a really good one hours before. And I was like, I feel good. And then when I took a shower right before and I made sure to like stick my finger up there and like put, try to like, but it's hard to get your finger up your ass when you don't have lube and water is not very lubricating. So I stuck it up there and just see if there was anything or if I could feel anything or whatever. And I was like, oh, it seems good. And then I was good. But I am going to get like douches from Love Honey, which is our new sponsor. They have like anal douches, like squeegees things. Mm. So go to lovehoney.com and they have a whole anal prep kit. Go buy that and then you douche with saline water. And if you douche over and over and it runs clean, you have nothing to worry about. And that's truly the greatest part about it is when you have nothing to worry about and you can really just lean into how good and weird and like dirty and wrong and but great it feels.
Do you recommend
and also put on
style Muse. Or do you the song Muse?
Yeah, just like any Muse song
where they're yelling.
It's just like very good anal music
because the guy's already yelling and it covers
it's
your
just
yell.
Like supersonic black hole.
I think that would make me hit it too hard. Wait, do you recommend anal or do you recommend missionary anal, like for time?
I recommend laying on your back.
Laying on your back.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recommend that, and I also recommend just going really, really slow. Guys, a lot of times I think see in porn like just pounding. Do not do that. Definitely don't do that. There's many chambers to your ass. So the first one you'll get through, it'll uh-oh. Like your first.
There's a duck.
Well, your asshole is like, I'm sorry to get so detailed, but like your asshole is like tight and then it's going to open up like after that, right? Like it's not going to be continually tight like a vagina is. Like a vagina is consistently the same kind of almost the whole way through.
Yeah.
Your asshole has like a ring, then there's an opening, then there's another ring, then there's an opening. It's almost like a clown's balloon that they're about to make like a thing with. So each chamber you have to like get through slowly. So just because you get past that first tight anus does not mean you're not going to hit another tighter thing to get through. So it's just, that's why it's just very, very slow. And then see how that feels. And then you can work up to getting just pounded.
Interesting.
Next listener.
All right. You want
Mail.
Me to just
yeah, read it?
Okay. I am 47 and I have a decent body that I've worked on loving and finally got there. My husband thinks I'm too old and it's inappropriate to wear a bikini that shows too much of my ass. I wish he'd be proud of me, but instead he wants to make sure I'm covered in public. Just would like your opinion if you have a second. Thanks, Nikki.
Okay, yeah, this person wrote in yesterday and wants to remain anonymous. Do you want to take this one? Because I've got...
I mean, obviously it makes me very angry that the husband's not comfortable with her. She works really hard. She fucking can do whatever the hell she wants.
What do you think this is about then, Andrew?
It's you're my wife, you're my woman. He's insecure. He doesn't want other guys checking her out.
Yeah, here we go. It's not because you look bad in the suit or because it's too much or because you look slutty or because it makes you look stupid or you don't look cool and you don't look hot. It's because you look good. And he is threatened because he doesn't look as good and he knows you look good and he doesn't want other people admiring how good you look. He doesn't want you to feel too good because I'm sure he's a very nice guy. If you start feeling too good about yourself, you won't stay with someone who's like him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like himself. I'm sorry to tell this to you. Your husband's insecure and he needs to keep you insecure to keep you. Because someone who doesn't like themselves has to make sure the person that they're with also does not feel like they deserve better. Because if they do, then they'll leave you. So what he's doing here is trying to keep you. He's terrified he's going to lose you because he sees you improving himself. He's doing nothing probably to improve himself. And he's scared he's going to lose you. This is a classic behavior of just not, he's going, but he'll change it. Let me tell you, girl, this guy.
So what do you do? So then how do you approach it?
Say, I like it. It makes me feel good. I'm not doing it to, it has nothing to do with you. I don't care about your opinion on it. Honestly, I think I look great. And if you don't, then...
And what if he goes, well, then I'm not going to the pool with you. I'm not going to...
Okay, see you later.
All right.
I won't see you at the pool. And he will get so fucking mad, but
Because now you're in the thong without him there.
Well, maybe, honey, you need to go work on yourself so you feel as confident about your body as I do because your issues with my body have nothing to do with me. nothing, and I don't really want to hear about it. And so what if keep he it goes, to yourself.
Well, it's not about my body. It's more about, like, I just think decency-wise, you know, that's, you know, I don't...
There's, like, kids around, and people are going to judge you, and your ass, like, there's cellulite. Like, he might start... He might go from being, like, you look slutty, which is telling you you look good, by the way. When he's, like, that's indecent, he's saying you look good.
Yeah.
Like, that you look tantalizing. And if it's not... If he's using the... It's not appropriate around kids and families, that means you look hot, right? But then, when that doesn't work, he will then shift to... You look fat. He'll start shifting to you look bad because saying you look good is not working. Saying you look too sexy isn't working. So he's going to switch. I guarantee this will happen. He will switch to you look bad. You look ridiculous. You look stupid. And it's all because he's so scared of losing you. Because if he, the thing is, if he actually thought that you looked bad in that and was like, wow, my wife has confidence, even though she like, he wouldn't say it that way. And he wouldn't present it this way. This is totally a man who's threatened, and it's just textbook behavior of an insecure man. And
the fact that he goes, you're too old to be doing that. Fuck you, dude. You could be 100.
This guy's so jealous of your confidence, and he's really threatened by it. And I can tell that you just got it, and you're just now beginning to love yourself and like accept the body that you're in and embrace your aging. And it's terrifying to men who have men. And women do this too. They benefit from when someone has low self-esteem. And when you start to change and have high self-esteem, it's not going to work for them. You're going to have these run-ins where they are not. When you change and your partner doesn't, it doesn't mean that you should stop changing and go back. Keep changing, and maybe you'll outgrow him. Or maybe he'll see that he needs to start changing too. But you're doing everything right. Keep wearing that swimsuit. I can't wait to see you.
I love it. All right, let's check out some...
voice memos.
Speak pipes.
Hey, Nikki, Noah, and Andrew. I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to Nikki since you had to be there, and
whoa.
I've been listening to Puddles since the first episode. Congrats
nice.
On episode 100, by the way. I have a story about something that I witnessed, and it was so that I almost shriveled up into a ball and died. I was driving my car through a neighborhood with a lot of bars and cafes, and there's a... stop sign on every corner to limit the speed of how fast traffic can drive through this area. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this huge group of guys on like motocross bikes drive by, blow through all the stop signs, revving their engines as loud as possible and driving on their back wheel, just blowing past these people, just having a nice afternoon in the cafes, showing off. And it was so cool that I really just couldn't stand it. So
oh my God.
Hopefully that passes the test. I love the podcast.
Oh my God.
Keep up the great work, and don't be
Yeah, don't be I mean, I hope you screamed at them, because it is amazing how much really does get your anger and like make, and the person might not even know what means, and they probably couldn't hear it over their engines. And, you know, I'm guessing they were blaring.
Well, my dream
some
would be
kind of
is
like
he goes
Tiesto or something,
and he looks across the restaurant, and someone else is going
"Kuh." Oh my God!
And they have a
dream.
Moment when
he
goes, both,
"Did you just say Kuh?"
Yeah, it's like Fight Club.
Are you a bestie?
Like, are you? And
oh
then
my
they
God.
Just look at each other and they go, they wink or something, some kind of.
Remember
like.
Remember when the engines were revving and I almost said something to those guys and you curled into a ball of embarrassment? You were so mad. I was just breathing in these.
You were
noxious
saying no. You
fumes.
Said something. You did say something.
Yeah, I know.
Remember
I go, can
when
you guys go? Can you like go, because you're just burning diesel and we're breathing it in. It was bothering me.
I get that. And look, I love
it. We were
it.
Dying.
Again,
we
I
couldn't
would have
leave.
To,
they have motor scooters.
But you're yelling at seven guys on motorcycles to get out of there. And I just.
No, I didn't say get out of there. I go, can you guys go? Because it's like really hard to breathe this in. That's all I said. Like, it was very nice.
Look, I get it. You're keeping your engine going for fucking 3 minutes because you want the attention.
It's just like, God.
You could do that wheelie anywhere else.
Just
you
go
have
yell
to go
at your
to,
wife about being in a bikini she doesn't belong in. That's an easier way to deal with your anger than blowing through a stop sign and doing wheelies. I'm just kidding. These are all the same kind of behaviors. That they're all just men being like, I don't think I'm enough. And it's like, you're not. So go read a book.
I guess the only thing with the wheelie, like you do a wheelie by yourself, right? You don't get that feeling.
That's got to
like,
be a cool feeling.
It is a cool feeling. But if it's just for you, it's not that cool. But if you do it in front of people, there's a stop sign. If you
there's
do
a stop sign.
But you know what I mean? Like, if you do fall, like, there's more at risk. So it feels more of like... Like, you know.
Yeah.
So I get that. I get why you would do it in front of people.
I just wish they were wearing helmets and they wouldn't break the laws to do them. But I do enjoy a wheelie.
My stepbrother did a wheelie one time for me and my buddy Rusty.
Yeah.
And he's like, check this out. And he went out, no helmet.
Oh, my God.
Just wearing Jake the Snake.
So brave.
And he was just wearing
Jake the Snake wouldn't give a fuck what kind of swimsuit you wore as an older woman.
Not at
all. He would love it. He's confident.
He's so confident.
He wouldn't give a fuck. He'd probably let you fuck other guys.
For sure.
Oh, my God. He's so open. I think I belong with him.
I'll set it up tomorrow.
All right, go on.
So Jake the Snake does a wheelie, and he's only wearing...
Like, tomorrow you'll set it up. Today he's busy.
Yeah, today he's tough. He's working on air conditioners.
Yeah.
But he does a wheelie, and he falls, and he scrapes his ass. Like, when you're doing a wheelie for your buddies, like two buddies, like, you're going to fall, but you're not going to, like... So you got to, like, play it cool.
Oh, yeah.
But his... Like,
his ass was like on the sidewalk.
His ass, yeah. He left his ass on the side. And he's like, yeah, that's very bad there.
Final thought. I hit a guy with my car pulling out of a gas station one time. Like, I was just, you know, pulling out, but I was getting ready to go onto a road that's like 30 miles per hour. So it was like a deliberate pull out of a gas station. Hit this guy. Bump. Like you, that.
He fell?
Yeah, dude. I rolled over. I ruined his bike. And he was so embarrassed that he fell off the bike. And... was limping away that he didn't want to stay and exchange information so that maybe I could be accountable for it. I go, do you want my numb? Like, and he just limped away because he was so embarrassed that he was like a hot guy that fell. Like, falling is so humiliating.
Yes.
I mean, when I got hit by a car and I landed in the street and my skirt popped over my head and I was wearing I was more embarrassed about my ass being exposed than I was of getting hit by a car.
Because your boyfriend was yelling at you about it. He's like, how dare you show your ass, like, when you fall?
God, you're such a slut. You want everyone to want to fuck you right in the middle of 10th Avenue.
I'm bleeding out of my face. I don't care. You're fucking slut.
I mean, that really is what some disgusting men think. God, I mean, it makes me so mad when women are slut shamed by their husbands that are just scared of losing them. It's just so obvious. I want to just cut out all the time.
The only
Wait,
thing I
feel it out is funny. It's calling out cuz. I'm gonna cut you out right now. You're being cut.
Call him out. Yeah. Cut him out. So the only thing that I feel when if I'm with a girlfriend though and she's wearing a thong, it's not about her. It's about other men either gawking over her, and then like if I'm like not paying attention, then they're hitting on her real quick, and then I gotta
what is the problem there?
Because you're dealing with having to have a confrontation with other men that are horny, that see an ass, they'll maybe take a video of it. Yeah, it could start like a whole thing just because she's showing her ass. That's the one thing.
Or just because men can't control their horniness. Well, that's what's starting it.
Yeah, of course. I'm not blaming her. I'm saying though that confrontation, that feeling you get around horny men is annoying for a man to feel. Because then you got to be like
a
lion.
That's why you didn't want me to approach that guy that was on his phone, because I was wearing a thong when
yeah,
I did it.
Yeah, well, on your head.
Yeah, and it would have just been just... No, I get it. Like, I understand that when your girlfriend looks hot, it's like other guys are going to like maybe hit on her and it's going to be a thing. But it's also like...
Yeah, I blame the guy. I don't blame her. I'm just saying, though, it will happen if you're at a pool... And there's a lot of people there, and you know, you're going, you're talking to them, but next thing you know, you turn around, there's like four guys being like, oh man, oh, she's in a
thong.
See,
I want a guy that is so horned up by the fact that other guys are checking me out. Like, I want a guy to be like, those guys are all wanting to fuck you so bad. And I'll be like, I know, and they can't. You get to. Well, and I want a guy to be like so turned on by that. And even if these guys come up and hit on me, like, I want a guy to be like, I can't believe they all want to fuck you. Like, I
was at the pool yesterday or a couple days ago. Brenna was in a thong and she was laying out in the sun and I was in the shade. And there was a guy laying out next to her. And I could feel kind of him like, you know, hitting, you know, trying to like get her attention. Yeah. And he didn't know I was with her because I was on the other side. And it felt great to then, like, I finally went over, I sat next to her, and I gave her a nice kiss. And I was like, it did horn me up a little bit to know that, like, she won't want to fuck this guy.
Yes.
And even if she does, whatever, dude, do you.
Yeah. I realize, like, I definitely like when I have a boyfriend who everyone wants to fuck, and like I'm dating a guy who all the girls like. I like the opposite of that, where a guy like whatever version of a, like a thong bikini is for a guy. Like I like guys to look so sexually attractive that every girl in there wants my guy.
It would be so funny.
But at the same time, I also like to be that girl too. So like sometimes it's a lot of times I think that's it's called hot wife or hot husband, and I'm both. Like I want my boyfriend to be a hot husband and like other girls to want to fuck him, and like he can even do stuff with other girls, I don't care, but I also want I want my partner to be turned on by other guys being turned on by me.
I know it's
not in a jealous way. I want to talk to my boyfriend about it and be like, can you believe that guy over there like thinks he can fuck me and he has no idea that there's no like I like that
without them being like I'll fight him.
Yeah, no. I want it to be fun.
It's hard, dude. It's hard as a guy.
I know.
Whatever.
You guys are so threatened.
So threatened.
Because of biology. I mean, I just listened to this really fascinating podcast about our mating patterns and why we do what we do. And basically, it's like what it comes down to is that women, when we're pregnant, we know the baby is ours. There's no way. I mean, now there's ways with science to like put your egg in someone else's so it can be your baby. But women always know that we're the mother.
Yes.
Men never, you can never be sure.
Well, and so that, DNA test, but yes.
Right. But like that's technology. But based on our like, you know,
instincts from back in the day, you wouldn't know if that
you wouldn't know. That's why you guys are fucking crazy. And that's all. And you also know that all your only goal is to come as much as possible and as many women as possible. Everything in your biology makes you want to do that. And women, we have no, there's no, the reason
except for the price of college.
Oh my God, it's so fascinating. No, you have to listen to this podcast. You're going to love this podcast because it talks all about like why women cheat in marriages. And they think there's a evolutionary reason for it. And it's not like what anyone thinks. It's really fascinating. Is the latest Making Sense podcast with Sam Harris. It's about the mating rituals of humans. And it's fucking fascinating. Nice. And really, but it all comes down to men not being sure that they'll be the fathers. That's why they're so territorial. And women were just more sure of it. And we just know. But men never know. Or like, you know, now we can know because of Maury Povich. But, you know, cavemen didn't have Maury back in the day. We got to go. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. We'll be back next week. You know it. We're going on the road this weekend. We'll report about that. Going on tour very, very soon to so many cities. NikkiGlaser.com/tour for tickets. Please support all of our sponsors. We hand select them for you guys. And I hope you enjoy. Please listen to my ad reads because I have a lot of fun with them. And I try to make them funny for you guys. And yeah, just keep writing into the show. Keep saying nice things about us on your Instagram stories. Like, I read them all. I'm so touched that you're spreading the word about the show and that it means something to you. And yeah, and thanks for dealing with my moods this week. I'll try to keep being honest. And I appreciate you guys understanding when I'm not in the best mood. And that includes you and Noah, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And love you, besties.
Love you guys so much. And yeah, tell three friends this weekend about us.
That's a good idea. Bring them in.
All right.
That's a good idea.
And rate and review.
And rate and review on iTunes. That really moves the needle, or whatever pod kind of catcher you have. Thanks so much. I know that's a lot to ask. And we really appreciate every little thing that goes into it. It's like I really look at this as a lifelong thing for me.
It's the best job on earth.
And it's my most important job. And I really love you guys. Thank you for listening.
Go hit golf balls now.
And please don't die this weekend. We need you.
One of you can, just for the story. No. Just one.
Don't be cuh. Jackpot.
Jackpot.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less.
Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.